Today our reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, about the whole armor of God. Before we listen together, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your presence, the wonderful gift of forgiveness again this morning, the possibility to be with each other in the midst of the turmoil that's around us. And Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to us always, your word that is as relevant today as it's always been. And so as we await your message for us, may your spirit illumine us and open our hearts and minds to receive your message. We pray that in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of God. Thanks be to him. So, you know, as a pastor, I've been to many nursing homes to visit people. And whenever I go, it's nothing strange to see some seniors hanging out in a common area, playing a game of bingo or some other board game, or maybe sipping a cup of tea or reading a large print book or doing some other planned activity with other members of the nursing home. And this is all pre-pandemic, of course. So I was kind of surprised to read about a guy with the name of Buckmaster. And Buck is a martial arts instructor. And what he does is he teaches seniors what he calls extreme cane defense. He started teaching these classes for seniors after his own 69-year-old mother was attacked. And so the seniors learn to be aware of their surroundings and try to avoid putting themselves in vulnerable scenarios. But if that fails, they also learn how to use their canes to bust shins and crack skulls and hook a neck or poke an attacker in his nether regions. And it's kind of caught on in other nursing homes and settings as well. And so you will find seniors out on a mat learning how to use their canes as weapons for defending themselves, how to defend themselves against potential attackers who might see them as easy targets for theft or assault. And so while grandma might look helpless and weak, leaning on a cane to help her do a grocery shopping, that curved stick and put a younger punk down in a heartbeat if she knows how to use it. And this whole phenomenon has become known as, are you ready for it? Cane Fu. I mean, if you go Google it, you will see some interesting articles and video clips of how the elderly are learning to use their canes to defend themselves. And so I want you to sing with me. Okay, everybody ready? Everybody was Cane Fu fighting. Those kicks were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. That's my best rendition of that song, and it's a little early, so thank you for putting up with that. But you see, we usually associate a cane with disability. And now it's been turned into one of the most effective and easy to use weapons in self-defense. You can carry it anywhere you want, even on an airplane. It's a medical device, so it's always with you and it's always in hand. And a gun needs to be pulled from a holster and a knife from a sheath, but as Cane Fu instructor Mark Shuey puts it, with a cane, you're always locked and loaded. Kind of like puts a new spin on Theodore Roosevelt's famous quote, speak softly and carry a big stick. So speaking of canes and crutches, you know, a lot of people in our world look at people of faith as a bunch of vulnerable and weak people. People who are easily taken advantage of. People who aren't strong enough to get by without it. Jesse Ventura, the former professional wrestler who became governor of Minnesota, once said, organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. And Larry Flint, the pornographer, agreed, saying, there's nothing good I can say about religion. People use it as a crutch. So I don't know, what do you think? Should we maybe see ourselves then as Cane Fu Christians? I mean, if faith is a cane or a crutch we carry around with us every day because we need it, then it's also a powerful weapon we can use in navigating a world that has a lot of evil in it. The Apostle Peter says, be on your guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion sneaking around to find someone to attack. He says, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce. Because you see, there are many philosophers or critics who would like to snatch our faith away like grandma's purse. There are many thieves of morality who want to tempt us into the shadows. But if you're a Cane Fu Christian, you know that you have the proper weapon at hand at all times. And it's something you can use wisely to your defense. And that's the point that Paul makes at the end of his letter to the Ephesians. As a matter of fact, most scholars believe it wasn't a letter only for the Ephesians. It was actually a letter to be circulated to different churches in a broad geographical area. So kind of like a good sensei, Paul instructs these churches. He says, avoid the dark corners of pagan philosophy and instead practice to live as children of light. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from God. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. And so as people of the light, people who have Christ's light within us, we need to, first of all, avoid evil and darkness. Avoid those worthless things that are done in the dark. But if avoidance doesn't work, says Paul to the early church and to all of us, then we need to be prepared to fend off the forces of darkness. That we need to go on the attack against evil in the form of temptation. That we need to put up a fight against doubt and persecution. In a spiritual battle, we need to be ready and willing to put up a fight to the finish. And so here in chapter 6, Paul holds up a list of virtues that Christians should carry with them. Things we need to lean on every day. Qualities that are already locked and loaded in the life of the Christian. Assets that can double as defensive weapons. Virtues we can use to defend our faith when the time comes. As a matter of fact, Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God. He uses the image of a Roman soldier's battle dress as a metaphor. And he says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you can defend yourself against evil. You know, and Paul's readers were very familiar with what this full armor looked like. The sight of Roman soldiers walking around in full kit. But physical armor wasn't something that most of them would have grabbed on their way down to the market. But Paul urges them to put on a defensive mindset. He says you need to understand that you actually have significant protection at hand if you know how to use it. The first thing Kung Fu instructors teach us seniors is to be on the lookout. The first principle of their training is to be able to identify potential threats. And what Paul is doing is, first of all, he's reminding the churches that the real threat to their spiritual safety isn't people. He says we are not fighting against humans. We're fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So the fight is against the powers of darkness. And make no mistake, the force of evil is very real. I mean, there are people and systems that are deliberately causing damage and pain and suffering in this world. There are people who do have a desire to harm and hurt others. There are moral evils like rape and abuse and murder and lies. I mean, if you believe in God and what is good, then you also have to believe that there is a Satan and evil forces. That is why you need to put on God's full armor, says Paul. Then on the day of evil, you will be able to stand strong. And when you finish the whole fight, you will still be standing. And so let's look into that just a little bit more. What is the full armor of God that Paul is talking about? What are these weapons that are available to us? How can we protect ourselves in a spiritual way and put up a fight to the finish? Paul uses the battle dress of a Roman soldier as a metaphor. And what we see is that except for the sword, all these weapons are defensive weapons. They're designed for protection. I mean, a cane doesn't look like much until it becomes a weapon in the hands of a skilled senior. And these virtues Paul is mentioning do not look like much either until they're employed with wisdom and the striking power of the Holy Spirit. And so the first weapon or virtue Paul mentions is the belt of truth. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Let the truth be a belt around your waist. I mean, what has happened to the truth? We're living in a world where people say, well, your truth is not my truth. We live in a political environment where people only want to believe their own perspectives, where politicians and spokespeople use phrases like alternative facts. And truth is not truth. As followers of Christ, we need to strap on the belt of truth. And so where do we find the ultimate truth? What will enable us to stay true to the truth? As a believer, as a Cainful Christian, I know that it is the truth of the gospel that enables me to deflect the various untruths that I am bombarded with every day. You know what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said the truth will set you free. And so when I immerse myself in the truth of the gospel, it leaves less room for the devil to attack me with untruths. The second defensive mechanism is the breastplate of righteousness. It says, fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand strong with the protection of right living on your chest. Righteousness or right living is something that protects the heart of the Christian. You know, I think in general, elderly people are more likely to fall for online scams or people trying to take advantage of them. And one of the ways that criminals often try to lure their elderly victims is by playing on their innate sense of wanting to be nice. And the devil uses a similar tactic in tempting us toward things that look good and inviting on the outside. But these things will trap us in the darkness if we're not careful. And so when Paul talks about righteousness here, he talks about right living, having right standing before God. It's about having a deep sense of right and wrong. And when God's Spirit cultivates that in our lives, then it keeps us from giving in to temptation. It helps us identify the devil's scams when we see them. We can see and we can realize when something is wrong. I need to tie the belt of truth around our waists and wear the protection of right living on our chest. The third part of the armor, Paul says, is shoes for your feet. I mean, a key to self-defense is having the right footwear. For instance, it's better to have leather shoes on when you're confronting an attacker than it is to be wearing flip-flops. You can't stand your ground firmly with flip-flops. You can't change direction when you need to with flip-flops. It reminds me of the two guys in Africa who were hiking in the bushveld, and they had flip-flops on. And then they came across a lion, and it looked like the lion was about to chase them. And so the one guy sat down quickly and pulled out a pair of sneakers out of his backpack. And his friend started laughing and said, "Do you really think you can outrun the lion with sneakers?" And he said, "No, I don't have to outrun the lion. I only have to be able to outrun you." So Paul urges the church to put on the right footwear. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. It says, on your feet, wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. And what they say is that sometimes the best defense is a good offense. And there are times when we need to be proactive, when we need to proclaim the gospel instead of simply reacting to whatever the world throws at us. Staying balanced, standing your ground and moving forward are good tactics in both spiritual and physical combat. Next, Paul talks about the shield of faith. You know what one of the most basic principles of self-defense is? It's to always travel with a buddy. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. criminals are less likely to approach two people than one person alone. And Paul describes a similar tactic. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, Roman shields were best employed in a phalanx, when they stood side by side with their shields in front of them, kind of like the riot police today. And that formation provided mutual protection against an attack, particularly from arrows. And the shields were furthermore often covered with leather, which was soaked in water before battle, and this helped to extinguish flaming arrows fired by enemy archers. And so Paul says, let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Because you see, one of the reasons the church exists is because it's the fellowship of believers. Part of keeping our faith is to belong to this unity of people who believe, people who offer each other mutual support, people who offer each other instruction and accountability. That's one of the reasons we gather together as the church, because there's strength in numbers as we worship and work together, as we watch out for one another and cover our friends when they're under attack from the evil one. And the next virtue Paul talks about is the helmet of salvation. What they say about self-defense is that it's really more about having the proper mindset than it is about physical skills. And most martial arts teachers work on mindset even more than kicks and punches and cane thrusts. So what does the helmet of salvation do? It protects our minds with some very, very important knowledge. And that is that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, then you have been saved from sin and death by His resurrection. You don't have to go back to the old life you once led. You've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you accept God's salvation as your helmet, knowing that nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when the time comes and we're under attack, then it's time to use the best offensive weapon we have, and that is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, it was clear that he had spent a lifetime leaning on the Scriptures. And when Satan tried to use them out of context to lure him into sin, Jesus was ready to defend himself with the gospel truth. And the more we study the Scriptures and take them to heart, the more we carry them with us every day, the readier we will be to fend off the devil's lies with the Word of God. And finally, Paul urges God's people to pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. It says, never stop praying, especially for others. Stay alert and keep praying for God's people. When we pray without ceasing, it keeps our souls awake and alerts us to the world around us, the needs, the opportunities, and the dangers. And so listen, if Christianity is a crutch or a cane, it's a pretty powerful one for defending ourselves against the powers of darkness. And it is the simple things us believers carry with us every day that can be our best defense against spiritual attack. So we can, by God's grace and in the power of the Spirit, fight to the finish. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this incredible image that Paul uses to describe the full armor we have available as we encounter many dangers and many attacks on our lives, specifically on our spiritual lives. So my prayer is, God, that we will not just read about this full armor that is available to us, but that we will indeed be dressed in it and put it on and be able to defend ourselves through your power and your Spirit against whatever forces of darkness we may encounter. And so we pray for your protection and are thankful for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.